Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Well, welcome to Star Safari.
And today we're going to talk about why space is important.
Yeah. And we're also going to talk about Space Week that's coming up, Carterton Space Week, and a little bit about the World Space Week, because that's also, well, coming up at the same time. And then also we're going to talk about some of the stuff that's been happening in space the last couple of weeks, including some interesting stuff on space flight, which was quite cool. So I guess we could kick off with, what should we start with?
Well, let's talk about Carterton Space Week.
Yeah.
Which has been very interesting. And we're working with Go Carterton. We're actually members of Go Carterton, which we encourage everybody to become. Go Carterton is a fabulous organization that is doing a lot of awesome things. They have wonderful events. And it's a network of people who love Carterton. And so it's a network of businesses in the first place. If you're a business in Carterton and you're interested to network and to come and exchange ideas, I think this is the best reason why we should be there and be at Go Carterton meetings, because you meet these wonderful people and they do all sorts of things. And you realize when you're at one of those meetings how much diversity is in Carterton and how many people do awesome things.
So Go Carterton, it's the business group, kind of like the Chamber of Commerce for Carterton. And when you're a member of Go Carterton, you automatically get business membership of Business Wire Appa. But also what it's about is it's about creating opportunities, networking events and activities and stuff that encourage business in the Carterton district. So, and this is what Carterton Space Week is principally about. So this is about getting everybody together and getting everyone behind a really cool space event for the week. Not so much stuff planned. Pretty much everything, every day we've got something, right from Saturday the 5th of October through to Friday the 11th of October. Yeah, so we're going to kick off at 10 a.m. in the courthouse with an exhibition. So that'll have some telescopes there. We'll have some astrophotography gear. We'll have some the Phoenix Astronomical Society. Harry and I will be there, and anyone else we can rope in as well to talk to people about astronomy and talk to people about astrophotography. So if you're keen on getting into astrophotography, you're interested in astronomy, you don't know really where to start, you're thinking maybe a telescope would be a cool idea, well, come down and talk to us, because, you know, the Phoenix Astronomical Society will be there and they've got some really, really great information on you know, buying telescopes and that kind of thing, and an opportunity to try telescopes out. And then we've also, and you know, Harry and I will be there, we've got a huge range of telescopes as well, but also astrophotography. Harry's an avid astrophotographer. She's got some pretty cool gear, so she can talk about how you can get these, some of these amazing views of the Milky Way and the fleeting aurora whenever it appears, which of course is completely unpredictable. Well, not unpredictable, because you know maybe a few hours beforehand, but you certainly don't know any longer. But then in the afternoon, we've got talks by...
So well, we I'm have a surprise as well, a surprise guest.
Not a surprise guest. We're not going to mention who that is.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Well,
so I'm not the surprise. So I'm doing a talk. a really amazing local astrophotographer, Paul Mallinson, he's going to do a talk. He's a top-notch astrophotographer, done some amazing work on imaging Mars in particular and a whole range of other stuff. So he'll be very, very interesting to talk to. On the Sunday, we're launching water rockets in Carrington Park, and we're going to have the planetarium going as well. Oh, no, actually, we won't on Sunday. On Monday, we're going to have the planetarium going. There's going to be a space-themed family quiz in the afternoon at Elmo's Books and Cafe on Sunday afternoon. And then on Monday, yep, we're going to have the planetarium going in the Rangatahi Hub. And we're also going to have a big event we're calling the Aerospace Business Connect Expo. So that's going to be all the local businesses that are kind of mildly interested in the night sky or interested in space or anything like that. We're going to get together and we're going to all have a bit of a meet and greet and talk about how we can work together. It'd be a great opportunity to meet but like-minded businesses. In fact, any businesses, really. It's going to be a great opportunity. Then later in that evening, we've got David Hedgley. He's going to talk about celestial navigation. David is amazing. He trained.
Yeah, David is. He was the training navigator for New Zealand Navy, and we were very lucky to work with him. I was very lucky to work with him when we did the movie Ngā Tohunga Whakatere, The Navigators. He was our European navigation expert, and he's been absolutely wonderful. He's been here in Carterton before a couple of years ago, and now he's coming back because he, I hope he likes us. That's why he's coming back to talk more about navigation. So if you have any question about how to orient yourself or how to navigate, David is actually the absolute expert. He runs workshops and courses all the time, and he's the one person that can teach you everything about European navigation.
Yeah, he's brilliant. So it's going to be an awesome talk. But last time David was here, it was a really, really well-subscribed talk. We had a lot of people come along to it. Then we've got on the Tuesday, we've got the Mars Blueberry again. That's our planetarium. There's a seniors lunchtime quiz that's happening at Schiaparelli's Pizzeria. That's going to be amazing. Lots of yummy food, pizza. Pizza.
Me too.
And then we've got on Wednesday, the planetarium again. And we're going to have an education expo, a careers expo. So this will be for our young people to come and check out what vocational pathways are there into the aerospace industry. And maybe into research and things like that. So really, really great opportunity to see for our young people how they can find these really amazing jobs out there, which are, you know, for the likes of Rocket Lab and Dawn Aerospace and all those sort of places.
And even this is World Space Week always falls in New Zealand during the school holidays.
So it's perfect timing.
It's perfect timing, yeah. You can drag your parents and come and check out some space careers.
And then on Thursday, we're going to have an open night up at Star Safari, and we'll also have the planetarium out. And then Friday, we've got a rotary quiz on at the Carterton Event Centre. So that's going to be pretty. So it's a pretty full week of a lot of space activities. It's going to be an amazing week to get behind. So you're going to start seeing some decorations and stuff pop up over the next few weeks. So keep an eye out for those. But yeah, get involved in these things. They're going to be great, great fun. So that's Carterton Space Week. And of course, Harry's going to talk a little bit about World Space Week, because Carterton Space Week is kind of part of the World Space Week, which is a whole international recognition for the week about space, and which is going to be pretty amazing.
World Space Week is this week long of talking about space and recognizing the importance of space in our lives. I am the country coordinator for World Space Week, and I want to encourage everybody that during World Space Week, which happens every year between 4 to 10 of October, they do something related to space. They read an article, they watch a movie, they read a book. I don't know, attend an event, come and see us in Carterton during World Space Week. Or if you're not in Carterton, organize your own events during World Space Week. And this year, the theme for World Space Week is space and climate change, which is a very topical one. And it highlights the importance of having a space industry and space capability to understand the climate change, because most of the things that we know about how things are going on Earth are because of satellites up in the sky, up in orbit, that are measuring the amount of carbon dioxide, the amount of methane, the amount of every single thing that contributes to global warming. So if we didn't have space, and if we didn't have a space capability, we would not know about this. So World Space Week is very important. And it's really interesting because like if you go back in history, World Space Week started after the Apollo launches, when the Apollo program got canned and nothing was happening, and a group of enthusiasts was very, very keen to continue. So they did a literally just a week of space events in Texas. And it was so successful. People were literally wanted to be involved in space events. It was quite in that sad time when when space wasn't happening anymore, when the Apollo missions weren't going to the moon anymore. So people actually loved to have this inspiration. They loved to dream of going to space. So the Space Week at the time was so successful that it attracted the attention of the United Nations. And so the United Nations kind of like took over the Space Week celebration. And they put it under, they said, all right, so on the 4th of October, we launched the very first space satellite, Sputnik, which was an extraordinary milestone for humankind. And on the 10th of October, we as a world, as a globe, as planet Earth, signed the space treaty. So these two events happening in October, they were apart from each other, like a week apart from each other. So then the United Nations suggested and got to have the World Space Week, the International World Space Week, right, as an event every single year from 4 to 10 of October. And that was because people really, really wanted to at least have something related to space. And so every year as well, during World Space Week, we have this very big conference, the International Aeronautical Conference. That's when it's happening as well, in recognition of the World Space Week. And space is really interesting, right? Because a lot of people say, why should we go to space?
Big.
Why? Well, it is big, but oh, why should we pay for space stuff when we don't have things here on Earth, or we didn't explore the oceans? These are questions that we always get from people. And it's kind of like, if you think about it, every single piece of equipment that was produced for space has a lot of uses here on Earth. These are called space spin-offs. For example, air filters. Air filters were produced for the International Space Station. Now we have HEPA filters on our vacuum cleaners. We have HEPA filters on our wineries. Here in Wairarapa, we have amazing wineries where a lot of that technology that keeps mold away, it's been invented because people were going to space. There's food safety that was
Medicals.
also created because we went to space. Of course, medical stuff, MRI scanners. There's such a huge list. Like, if you want to go and just Google space spin-offs, these are the things that benefit humankind because space is so hard that if you don't get all your ducks in a row, you die. And people think, oh, space is like this romantic thing. And a lot of people say, oh, we're going to go to Mars and we're going to destroy Mars and we're going to, after we destroyed Earth. And it's not quite like that, because space is a really, really, well, it's basically you don't have air, you don't have pressure. You go to space, if you're not prepared, if you're not well trained, you explode.
Well,
You,
it's utterly hostile
yeah,
to
yeah.
human life. That's the
It's the worst thing. And so, as much as we love space, we need to develop an extraordinary amount of tech to be able to keep us there alive. And that's where the progress comes in. And so all these money that are being paid to develop space missions. So, for example, Perseverance was $3.5 billion to send to Mars. $3.5 billion weren't put in a bank on Mars, because there aren't any banks on Mars. $3.5 billion came back in salaries and came back in innovation and came back in. And I think this innovation side as well is an extraordinary part of this whole space.
That's
Space,
huge.
yeah, space craze. And for a long time, for a very, very long time, space was used to for military. It was used to get technology to kill people. We know the V2 rockets were done like that. But when the telescope was firstly invented, was invented to spot and well, actually was used to spot enemy troops. And telescope is like, it's a telescope. You look at the stars with
A
it, right?
window to the universe.
You went into the universe, and if its first use was to make sure that we can kill people more efficiently. So, as most of the amazing inventions on Earth, they were all used for this kind of purposes. But space now has become a civilian enterprise, because now we're doing space because we want to know how we're made of stardust. We're doing space because we want to be better. We're doing space because we want to protect the Earth. And to the people who say, oh, we're going to destroy Earth and we're going to go and move to Mars and we're going to destroy Mars
as
well.
We're not moving to Mars.
Well, we're not moving to Mars. But one of the things that we ask is like, so if we had the technology to terraform Mars, which is like almost impossible as it is right now, don't you think we could use that technology as well to support Earth? And, you know, so like there are all these questions. And last but not least, all of these space spin-offs make people have a really, really good life here on Earth. Because if you're telling me you can totally live without your mobile phone, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. So it's interesting, we hear from a lot of people that say, well, instead of spending money on going to space, why don't we spend it on housing and solving poverty and things like that? And yeah, true, these are options that people have. You know, people, governments elect to spend their money on different things. Equally, you know, there's more money spent on cigarettes globally than there are on space globally. So, you know, maybe another option is people give up smoking. And then they'd save a heck of a lot on, medical bills and those sorts of things as well. So there are choices that people make to where they spend their money. You know, we could spend a whole lot less on military. We could spend a whole lot less on fighting wars with each other. And that's an incredibly expensive undertaking. So, you know, there's a lot of choices that people can make to spend money. Cutting or getting rid of going to space is probably not one of the sensible ones, given there's a whole lot of stuff that like Harry was talking about, the spin-offs and things.
There's a good example. When we had COVID, NASA team developed a better ventilator that saved very, very many lives, and that was because they used technology that was designed for space.
Well, miniaturizing stuff.
Yeah,
it's very
good.
Miniaturizing.
Yeah. So space is everywhere, and we're basically, most of the stuff we do is related to space, and we actually don't realize that. So events like World Space Week and Carterton Space Week, this is what we highlight. We highlight the importance of having space and the importance of flying out there and discovering things. You don't even have to fly out there. You can just stay home on a computer and look at the stars on a,
that's right, a remote telescope.
On a remote telescope. And that's also realized because we have space technology. And that's just the way humankind is progressing into the future, to make us more resilient, better prepared. And I think at the end of the day, happy that we're alive, understanding that the main fact that we're alive, it's because we're incredibly lucky. And if we didn't have this chain of events that happened and throughout the history of the universe, we probably wouldn't be here. And when people say, oh, I feel so small and insignificant, it's like, small. We're very, very tiny in the grand scheme of things, but we're extraordinarily lucky that we wake up every day. We have a coffee, we have cake, we have a good water to drink, and we have all these things, and we can solve more problems so that most people on Earth can live happily. And that's where space comes in. And no other technology has been so forward taking of humanity than space exploration. And by doing space exploration, we have drastically improved things here on Earth more than anybody has ever dreamed when they were dreaming to go to Mars or move on the moon or anything like that. And I think this is the most important thing that we need to remember about space exploration, how much stuff that we use every single day we get from it.
So there's lots of stuff going on up into space at the moment. So we've got the two astronauts that are on the space station that everybody says they're stuck there. They're not stuck there. They can, if you know, something happened on the space station, they could get all the astronauts down very quickly. So they're not stuck as such. But they are up there longer than they expected to be. They were going to be up there for 8 days. It now turns out they'll be up there 8 months. They won't be returning on the spaceship they took up there. It was a Boeing Starliner. It was its first crewed flight. So first time it was flying with people in it. And two lucky astronauts went up in that. It did have some problems on the way. There was some issues with it. And NASA's been very, very cautious. If I was an astronaut, I'd be very happy that they were very cautious. So they're very, very cautious. And so what's going to happen is they're going to come back on the Dragon or Crew Dragon SpaceX module, and I think about February next year. And so, you know, this is obviously this is not good news for Boeing. You know, they've had a bit of a bad rap lately. They've had a bad run with the aircraft safety issues, and now they've got this, which is a bit of a PR nightmare for them, having a spacecraft that seemingly doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do. And then, of course, the astronauts are getting pulled off that and then put on to the competitor, SpaceX's spacecraft. So from a how does it look? It doesn't look good for Boeing. There are some positives out of it. It's great that, you know, NASA are obviously putting safety above all else and risk, you know, trying to mitigate all the risk they possibly can. And you think, well, you know, if you've got a couple of astronauts coming back to Earth and you've got a choice, why put them on the one that isn't working 100%? And it's probably better then that there's more time to figure out how to make the Boeing Starliner work better. Now, one of the things people kind of forget is, well, why are they persevering? Why are they putting so much money into this this spaceship, this Boeing Starliner that's over budget? It's way past the time it was supposed to have been launched. It's been plagued with all sorts of problems. Well, if there's two spacecraft that the Americans can use to get up to the space station, that's two options for them. It wasn't that long ago they had no options other than paying Russia to put astronauts on the Soyuz, the spacecraft, which was not something that America ever wants to go back to. So they're making sure that they've got two options, one SpaceX and one's Boeing. So for them, this you know, they've decided this is a sensible option. For us sitting over in New Zealand, where the eye-watering amounts of money approach the size of our GDP sometimes, we kind of think that's an awful lot of money you could spend on some other stuff. But, you know, the American taxpayers, this is what they're forking out and paying. So these are decisions that they're making, you know, which is kind of interesting. Now, that's kind of space flight, I think this is good space flight, right? This is space flight where we're going up pushing the boundaries of what humans do. The other side of space flight is the commercial one. There's a couple of real important or noisy commercial things happening in the next, well, one's just happened yesterday, and that was Blue Origin did one of their flights where they popped just above the Kármán line, just above, I think it was 104 kilometers up they went, so that's officially in space, and they had the youngest female astronaut, aged 21, go up yesterday, so that's pretty cool. Her dad, I think, went in a previous flight, so it runs in the family. I'm not sure what they pay. They probably pay a lot of money. But so this is this continuing development of commercial or tourism space, really, where people are lobbing up into space, go for a good ride, have a good look, and experience space and weightlessness for a short amount of time, which is pretty amazing, really. It's great opportunity. Amazing, yeah. And if I had that sort of money, I would totally buy a trip to do that.
Buy a trip, yeah, too.
Exactly. So in some ways, you know, I think we're all a bit jealous. But we also see it's a staggeringly lot of money that sort of disappears into these rides into space. But, you know, like I said, I'd have a go if I had that sort of money.
Yeah. I applied to be an astronaut, so I'd probably go up to space. And, you know, like thinking about what you said just before about these astronauts stranded, it's their job to be to space. That's what astronauts dream about for their entire lives. So if you have 8 more months, then it's quite amazing.
So the other mission that's coming up is Polaris, or Polaris Dawn, yep. I think it is.
Polaris Dawn, yeah.
So that's SpaceX rocket. They're going up in a Crew Dragon, so it's been designed. They'll go up there, I think it's 4 astronauts, and they're going to do a spacewalk. So this is the first commercial spacewalk. So these astronauts are going to pop out of their little capsule, float around for a bit outside it, and then come back in. And they're also taking up some science missions. And I think this is one of the important things we kind of forget. Every time one of these commercial flights lobs up into space, they take experiments with them. The scientists, universities give them a few experiments to go up there. The astronauts who go up there, they you know, they look after these experiments and they report back. So there is a bit of science happening as well. Overwhelmingly, though, it is a commercial enterprise.
And Polaris is going to fly higher than the International Space Station, which is quite
It's the first, and it's the most distant or furthest away from Earth astronauts have been since the Apollo era.
Yeah.
So it's pretty significant. Now, of course, the interesting thing about their capsule was for them to do a spacewalk, there's no airlock, so they depressurize the whole capsule, float outside, then come back in. So that's going to be interesting.
So they make sure that they put all their pants and whatever else.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's us for this week. Clear skies. Hopefully the thunderstorms are finished. and we have some nice clear weather coming up. We look forward to seeing you all at Carterton Space Week next month.
Harry and Sam are signing up.
Bye.
Bye.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.